9 and 10, and they're already wanting to do something. You know? I'm sorry, I'm having a moment. Give me one. You know, Anthony was back there running the PowerPoint. He's already taking drum lessons. You know? She wants to sing. They want to do something. I ain't going to stop them. You know? I remember whenever I was little, being 4 and 5 years old, my dad dragging me up and handing me a microphone before he'd get up and preach. And be honest with you, that's probably the only reason why I'm here. That's why I do what I do. It's because my dad had me do it. Okay, I had my moment, I think. If you would, go ahead and grab your Bibles and go with me to Matthew 26. I had a PowerPoint all prepared for this morning. It's on my tablet. For some reason, it never made it to my stick drive. Unfortunately, my PowerPoint on my tablet does y'all no good. Matthew 26, we're going to be in verse 27. In verse 28. It's that time of the year, and this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. The blood. We're heading into that season where we go back and we reflect about what it is, the sacrifice that was paid for us. All of it would have been in vain if it wasn't for the blood. And in Matthew 26, verse 27, it says this, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" I want you to realize something there where it says, "Drink from it, all of you." All, not some. This is something that's for everybody. Nobody's excluded. I don't care if you're black, white, pink, or purple, or brown, or green. If you're green, you might want to see a doctor, though. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care how you talk, if you talk with an educated speech or an uneducated speech. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your social income is. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, middle. It doesn't matter. It's indifferent. It's for all. It's not exclusion. There's no exclusion in it. It's for everybody. Am I making it simple enough? It's for everybody, right? Everybody now understands that. And then he says, take all of it. He didn't say sip it. He said, drink all. I'm not going to try to skip over my message here. But he says, drink all. Sometimes we go to the altar and we take a little sip of it. Or we have our Sunday morning experience. And then we go back to our homes, and nothing's changed because we didn't take everything in that God was trying to give us that day. We never took the whole cup. Now, sometimes the cup is bitter, and we don't want to take it. The juice in itself is not great to taste. But there's something in it that we need, and we just can't take just a little bit. I told some people sometimes we have the Scooby-Doo experience. Well, just a little dabble, do you? Or a Fred Flintstone experience, you know, a little dabble, do you, I should say. Scooby-Doo and Fred Flintstone, little dabby-doo. Jesus had gathered his disciples together for the Last Supper. As these men gather around him, he holds up the cup and he begins to explain that this blood is the new covenant. And that his blood is sufficient, whereas the blood of goats and bulls for 4,000 years never met the full requirement for fulfilling the law. But he wanted them to realize in that moment that his blood was going to be sufficient. And this is what he was talking about when he said that he had come to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. In Matthew 5 and 17, it says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish it, but fulfill. that he in one selfless loving act would do what no other sacrifice had been able to do and would begin a new covenant with God's creation. A blood covenant that if anyone would trust in the power of the blood, they would receive redemption. They would receive atonement. They would receive a healing. They would receive protection. They would receive deliverance. They would receive strength. And they would receive transformation. In one act, all those things took place. That's why they say there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It was power to take away all the sins of the world. Not some, but all. Everything. It's the simplest message, but it's the message that the church is trying to remove. It's the power of the blood. There's no reason for us to be here except for that. Otherwise, this is just a social gathering where we get up and we sing. There's no impact to what it is that we do. It has no meaning if there is no blood. Number one, his blood has the power to redeem. The song says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, the law was hard. It was a curse upon mankind. No one could be pure enough, good enough, holy enough to obey the entire law. The law held men in bondage and showed every imperfection in humanity. But the blood of Jesus freed us from the curse of sin and death. In Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as of sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. I know a little bit about adoption. My sister was adopted. And she liked reminding of us when we were growing up that she was adopted. You know why? Because under Jewish law, if you was adopted, once your parents adopted you, they could not get rid of you. You were theirs forever. So she would remind us every once in a while, Mom and Dad wanted me. They got you. And they can get rid of you at any time. They can't get rid of me. But see, that's so true. We've been adopted into his family. And no matter what it is you do, and no matter how hard you run, he still looks at you, just like the song was saying. He's waiting for you to return, his son, even though his son was off in the distance and would not claim him as his own. The father sat there waiting for his son to return. And whenever his son came back, he did not say, you're a slave. He did not say that you're a servant. He called him son. And I don't know where some of you have strayed to. I don't know what some of you have done. Maybe some of you might be walking away from God today. But let me tell you something. You cannot outrun his love. You can't do it. You can try. I tried. You can't do it. I would see little things in my life that was going on, and I knew in the back of my mind that was God's love. Whenever my house burnt down, and the fire department and the men from the fire department looked at me and they said, Brandon, if you would have been home, you would have been dead. You never would have made it out alive because of the smoke damage. You know what? I may have been running from God, but I knew in the back of my mind the only reason why I was alive is because God loved me. You can't outrun it. My dad used to sing that song all the time when he reached down his hand for me. He had to reach way down for some of us. Maybe some of you are thinking I'm a pretty good person. But let me tell you something. If you do not experience a moment with his blood, if you do not experience a moment with the Savior, you are going to go to the same hell that the wild and crazy ones are going to. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's going to be good people who's never told a lie, who's never cheated people out of money, who are not con artists, that they're nothing but good people. They want to see the best in people. And they're going to look at God on judgment day, and see, he's going to say, depart from me. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. The law had no completion. Today was a lamb, tomorrow was a dove. Next it could be a goat or a bull. And it never stopped at constantly trying to cover the sins of a nation. The priest had to enter the Holy of Holies once a year, and every year to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with your perishable things, like silver and gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. But one cry from Jesus and God was no longer separated by a veil from man, because he cried out, it is finished. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and now man could be redeemed by a new covenant. It was the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Now man is no longer separated from the presence of God because of that blood. See, whenever you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, the Bible says that you can now come boldly before the throne. Boldly. If y'all want to know what boldness looks like when somebody approaches their father, watch my wife. She will show you how to talk to their father. She does not walk in asking for permission. She comes in and she tells her dad. She does not come in and say, Father. Have you ever said that to him? Father. I didn't think so. I've never heard it. If she did, he'd probably go, oh, Lord, what does she really want? She's being respectful. I told him he didn't have to learn no after we got married. That's all I ever heard about, was how she got away with everything. Anything she wanted, Daddy gave it to her. I'm like, well, great. We get married, and he learned the power of no. What? But when you walk into your parents' home, or when your kids come to your house, do they just walk in and just sit down? I know I do. I don't even knock. I usually just walk on in the door. I usually just go and plop myself down on the couch. I don't ask permission where to sit. I just come and sit. If I go to my mom and dad's house and I want something to drink, I go to the refrigerator and I get it. I don't ask him if I can have something to drink. Why? Because it's my father's house. Whatever he has, I get to have. And it's the same thing when you have a relationship with the Father who created everything. Everything that he has, you can have. Every promise that has been laid up for you from the beginning of the time, you can now have access to. There's nothing you cannot have. There's nothing you cannot enjoy. See, the blood, it brought healing. That's a promise for you to have now. It's protection. It's a promise that you can have now. You don't have to wait for it. You can have it now. In Hebrews 10, 16 and 19 says this, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind, and I will write them. And he then says, listen, in their sins and lawless deeds, I will remember no more. No more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. In other words, he's moved on, so should you. The greatest hindrance that we have in our lives a lot of times is us. Because we haven't forgiven ourselves. God's forgiven us, but we haven't. We haven't been able to move beyond ourselves. That's the reason why we sit in the same situation repeatedly, over and over and over and over again. We're in this circle that we never seem to get out of. It's because we cannot get out of our own way. There is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Have confidence when you do it. Have confidence. Come boldly before the throne. Not shy. Anthony is a backwards kid, doesn't really talk a whole lot. But whenever he's around me, he's different. He has a lot more boldness whenever he's coming to me. And he wants something. He needs something done. You know, whenever he comes not so boldly, it's whenever he knows it's probably not something he should ask for. Like, I just got in trouble. Don't know if this is the right time. But he comes boldly. Matter of, as you, a lot of you know, he plays baseball. And they had a baseball camp this past weekend. I didn't ask him if he wanted to go to it. I knew he loves baseball. He loves to practice. I don't understand it. He's at the age where he likes to run. I don't remember that time. It was a long time ago. I didn't go and ask him if he wanted to do it. I just knew him, and I signed him up for it, and I paid the price for it. Years ago, before you were ever created, before you was ever a twinkle in even your great-great-great-great-granddaddy's eyes, he went and paid a price for you. Even though you did not ask for it, even though you not yet thought of it, he already paid the price for you so you could receive it. It says when he hung on that tree, he thought of you. He already paid the price. He didn't ask you. He just paid the price. And then just said, whenever you want to receive it, it's yours. Number two, his blood has the power to transform. It is the blood of Jesus that, when applied to our lives, that can change the vilest of sinners, transforms them body, soul, and spirit in a new creature formed in the image of God's holiness. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Saul was a murderer that tried to destroy the church of God and had an encounter with the blood, power of the blood that was forever transformed in Paul's life. One moment, and Saul was transformed. The thief that hung on the cross beside Jesus experienced one moment and was forever transformed. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new again. Do we really understand what that means? I think sometime when we think of made new again, we think that we have been refurbished. And that ain't it. He took you right back to the first step all over again and created you brand new again. And he molds you. You're not a refurb. He took you right back to the beginning and made you brand new again. There is no soul that's so gone that the power of blood of Jesus cannot transform his sinful nature into the desire for the holiness of God. Isaiah 1 and 18, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they will be like wool." Number 3, his blood has the power to give life. A blood is the source of life. Without it coursing through our veins, life will cease in its physical body. Newsflash, you cannot live without blood in your body. You cannot live spiritually without his blood pouring through your body. They go hand in hand. Without the blood of Christ applied to our spirit and soul, we are bound for a certain death. In Revelations 21 and 8, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, which is the second death." Life more abundant can only be found in the power of his blood. When his blood is applied to your life, it now brings about abundant living. It has to. That's what his blood does. Number 4, his blood has the power to heal and protect. Whenever a virus attacks our physical body and begins to make us sick, our blood begins to fight with all that it has, attacking the virus with our blood cells. When the enemy of your soul rises up against you, the blood of Jesus covers us like a shield that the enemy that would destroy our soul is repealed. Why? Because there is a wonder-working power that's in the blood of the Lamb. When your body suffers an injury, a cut, your blood does this wonderful thing to protect you from infection. It forms a scab. It has clotting factors. It's the same thing with the blood of Jesus. Even though the enemy may be throwing things at you and may be trying to cut you and may be trying to tear you down, his blood has the power to defend you. It has the power to attack that virus spiritually. It can do it all. Many times in this life, we will suffer from different kind of attacks upon our spirit. A word that was said that cuts like a knife into the heart. A selfish act that almost destroys you emotionally. An attack from Satan upon your thought life that brings about condemnation. This is when the blood of Jesus wraps around our spirit and soul to protect and bring healing to the hurts of our lives. He is not surprised with anything that comes on in your life. It's never been a shocker. Pastor, whenever you got the phone call and the doctor said you had cancer, God did not sit there and go, "I didn't see this one coming. Who didn't give me that report?" If your child is sick today, let me tell you something. God is not sitting there worrying and wondering what's going to happen. If your child is running and doesn't seem like there's no hope in sight, like they're never going to come to an altar and pray, God is not sitting there going, "Oh, I forgot about that one." Let me tell you something. He's got them right in the palm of his hand, even though they cannot see it. It's a promise that is being held tight with the blood. My grandmother prayed for years for my grandpa. I don't even know why I'm going here. I'm going down there. Prayed for years. She may have been a Methodist, but she was a Pentecostal in the closet. That ain't no lie. And you know what? She never saw my grandpa come to an altar. Never saw it. Matter of fact, she looked at my grandpa before she went to sleep and slipped into a coma. She looked at him and she said, "Honey, I want you to know that I love you. But as I close my eyes, I know I have a promise that I'm going to see you again." And you know what? My grandpa did not close his eyes and ask Jesus into his heart at that moment. She passed away in September of 97. On Valentine's Day, 1998, my grandpa was sitting in his living room missing the love of his life. And he turned around in his chair and knelt down at his chair and gave his heart to Jesus. And a couple of years ago, whenever my grandpa passed away, I promise you, my grandma was doing a dance whenever he walked in that door. See, you may not see the promise ever taken. It may never happen whenever you might never see it with your physical eye. But let me tell you something. You have a promise, and it's called the blood of Jesus. And even though you may not see the promise come happen, let me tell you something. There is a promise. It will come. It will happen for you. His blood cannot lie. There's a covenant. Let me tell you something. With a covenant, there is no contract. See, we think covenants have contract, like there's an ending date. There is no ending date to that covenant. He said, "I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. I cannot lie. My promises are yes and amen." We need to realize just exactly who it is of the God that we say we serve. He does not live in a tiny little box. He is the God that spoke this world into existence. He created man. He molded and shaped them and breathed life into them. That's the only thing that he ever touched in creation was you. He spoke everything else out, but he created you. Created you. How many of you have ever watched some of these shows where people have things and like American Pickers, and these guys will walk in and they're trying to buy these different things from people? And they'll go and they'll see something. And the guys, sometimes they'll say this, "I made that one. You can't afford it." My grandpa made that one. I remember seeing him make that. That means too much to me. There's not a price I can put on that. That's you. There's no price he would take for you, because he created you for a purpose. He's not willing to give you up for nothing. That's why Jeremiah, that is my favorite. It's my favorite scripture, because I never could understand it. Where he says, "I formed you. I created you. I have called you by my name." Mine. That's why my son and my daughter have a special place in my heart. I call them by my name. They might call Uncle Jake and Uncle Derek, but guess what? They're mine. He says, I formed you and I created you. I've called you by my name. Do we realize what that means? And he can say, you are mine. I got to move on. His blood has the power to deliver. It's the power of blood of Jesus that breaks the yoke from a bondage of sin over our lives. He does not just forgive us and leave us in the grips of Satan, but by the power of the blood of Christ, we can experience freedom from sin. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that caused Christ to set us free. Therefore, keeping standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Because for whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Free. Whatever Satan has wrapped around your life and seems to be choking the very life out of you, let me tell you something. The blood of Christ can make you free. Colossians 1 and 13:14 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of our sins. Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Closing with this. Number 6, his blood is still powerful today. His blood is still saving sinners and setting the captive free today. You do not have to live in bondage. You do not have to live in fear. I don't care who gets elected president. He's got it all under control. If we get another knucklehead, I just know Jesus is coming quicker. It has to get bad before he gets here. I don't like any of them. Not a one. I'm pretty confident that Jesus can come at any time now. His blood is still sufficient. His blood is still sufficient. I don't care how far your son or your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter may be running. I don't care what your doctor report has said. I don't care. Well, Brandon, that's easy for you to say. You're healthy. It's easy for you to say. It seems like everything's going hunky-dory in your life. When I go to the doctor, I love this. They go to check my blood pressure. And this is their exact words to me. Do you need to lie down? Your blood pressure is really low. Are you okay? I'm fine. Are you sure? No, go and check my blood pressure again. Yeah, I'm great. And they're like, your blood pressure is so low. I ain't got nothing to fear. I'm in the arms of a God that created everything. If he can't handle things that are going on in my life, then why did he create it all? We're talking about a God that created not just this earth, but the entire universe and everything in it. I think he can handle whatever is going on in my life. I realized a long time ago, well, about 6 years ago, I should say, whenever I was losing my house, and there was nothing I could do to save it. And I told God, after talking to lawyers and trying to figure out a way to save my house, I just looked at my wife one day, unable to sleep. I said, you know what? God's got it under control because I can't figure this one out. 24 hours later, I get a phone call from a gentleman who did not know the situation that I was in. And said, Brandon, do you need a house? You have no idea how bad I need a house. Told him what was going on. This guy wasn't a Christian. He said, I tell you what, you can have this house. It needs a lot of work. For the first year of the house, you don't pay me nothing, so you can get the work done in the house and get the thing up and livable. Okay. He said, and here's what you'll make my payment to be. It was $400 less than what my current payment was with my other house. In 2 weeks, actually, in about 10 days, I'm going to an attorney. My house will be completely paid off. I will not have another mortgage. You don't tell me that God don't know what he's doing. Why do we worry? I love that song when it says, if his eye is on the sparrow, if his eye is on a useless bird, then I know the God that got down on his knees and he created a mud pile and he formed me and created me. And he leaned down and he gave me a kiss and breathed life into my body. How much more will he do for me? Please stand with me.